Welcome to the Love Positivism podcast. I'm Shireen Oberg, and I'm a yoga teacher and author devoted to the path of healing and heart-based living. And I want to help you to step into what you truly are and to your highest potential. On this podcast, I share with you tools and insights to help you move ever forward on your spiritual and healing path. With guests from all over the world, from different wisdom traditions, I wish to create a web of loving energy that permeates the whole world to create more love and peace. You can connect with me on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube for more guidance and love. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm very excited to be here today with two beautiful guests who are very inspiring in different ways, Valeria and Ishtar. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
I'm very excited to see what comes through today in our talk. We have different backgrounds and experiences, and you guys have known each other for a long time. So maybe, Valeria, you can start sharing who you are. You've not been on the podcast before, and you're doing amazing work. Just share what you're doing and who you are.
Okay, thanks, Shireen, for having me. Hi, everyone. Well, my name is Valeria Ketitian. I am Armenian, and I come from an Armenian family. I'm Armenian descendant. I was born in Argentina almost 43 years ago. And I always say that I come, as one thing that we share with each, we have complicated backgrounds. So we grew up kind of in this very hostile environment, trying to figure things out. So, you know, when you're extremely sensitive, and especially when you come with certain gifts, sensitive gifts, let's say, everything becomes even harder. So yeah, it was a very challenging time. And then, I moved to Spain, to Madrid, when I was around 20. And from that moment on, I always say that I got in and out different self-destructing behaviors until 2013, when I started my own healing process. And then everything changed from that moment on. I reconnected to a gift that I had since I was born, is the gift of being able to read other people's and situations, energies. And then I connected to the Akashic Records. I felt a very strong call from the records, and this absolutely changed my life. So now I dedicate my life to not only do readings to people so they can understand like their soul journey and purpose and blockages, but also, I do workshops and trainings and healings and many different things. So I always say that I kind of dedicate my life to change everything that I thought in my perception was unfair. Now Ishti will say, we met through skateboarding as well. 10, 12 years ago, we created this massive movement of women in longboarding that absolutely changed an industry. And then we met through there. And then, of course, we've just been doing, I always say, like, you know, before I brought in my perception, what my perception was of awareness and consciousness and empowerment before 10, 15 years ago was through skateboarding. Today is through other more energetic tools. But yeah, always doing, I feel that I'm at service and always doing the best that I possibly can.
Amazing. Thank you for sharing that. And Ishtar, please.
Yeah. I love always listening to Val's story. I can hear it over and over again. My name is Ishtar Beklund Akil, and I'm born in Malmö, Sweden, to an Iraqi father and a Finnish mother. And like Val mentioned, my upbringing was kind of messy and all over the place. And in a very young age, I started dreaming of just like when I was old enough, I would leave and go travel the world, and I wanted to just create like a new life for myself. So once I graduated high school, I had found skateboarding, and I took my bag, took my board, and the same day I graduated, I went off and traveled the world. And I did that for like 5 years, skating, meeting people. I was very interested in just not, you know, travel like a tourist, but to really integrate myself in all the communities I came to and all the cultures and learn and feel like I became one of them, because it was just that was the way I've always seen, like, that's the best way to learn and experience life. So yeah, I did that for many years, and then I came to a point where I was like, I felt like something was missing, and I've always been painting and always been drawing. My father's an artist as well, so we have it, and my mother. It's like very strongly rooted in my genes to be expressing myself through art. And I decided to apply to art school here in Stockholm, and I got in, and I spent the following 6 years almost studying and being rooted in one place. And it was a big fear to come back here too, because I'd never felt like I belonged here from the first start. So coming back and trying to face those fears of finding a way to belong and and it went well, but it was also like, I think I've always been very in tune with, since I was a child, just, you know, interested in everything esoteric and I guess that's also like being in a, trying to survive in situations that are very hectic and violent. It's intuitive, like intuition is like the strongest way to navigate yourself through those situations. But it also creates, like Vala said, these survival instincts and all of these things that then, you know, that still exist. And that's been a part of my work for the past maybe 8 years or something, to face those and to go therapy, but also like going deeper into meditation So I graduated last year, and I was craving to get out on the road again. So I started to initiate all of these self-driven projects of working collectively. And now I'm here and I'm on the road and working a little bit everywhere in the world with artistic projects.
That's amazing. You both have incredible backgrounds and stories. And I actually have Ishtar's book here for those that are watching this on video. It's called Mellan floderna, or Between the Rivers. Mm-hmm. And I would say that that's how we connected through the goddess, Ishtar. Everyone knows that I work with the divine feminine in different ways, and the first archetype or the first expression of her that came through was goddess Ishtar, and you're obviously, that's your name and that's your heritage, and I'm also from the same area in the world. So it's really beautiful because her story is so, we've talked about it on the podcast before, and that's actually a big part of my teaching and my priestessing is through her story, which is an ancient one and also comes through. So I love this book that you've created. And there's been beautiful connections and synchronicities. And today I really want to also get into the topic. I think in this podcast, maybe we've tapped into really small parts of it with previous guests, but the Akashic Records, because it's interesting to connect it with what I've also studied in my religious studies that I've done, and the mystical experiences and how we're tapping into this, even in like the scientific field, tapping into a field which we don't understand really what it is. But Valeria, maybe you can... it's a big topic, but I'm really interested because I guess the name comes from Akash, right?
The Sanskrit word Akasha. That means Sanskrit. Primordial energy.
Yeah, I mean, we can take it from there. I think let's assume that the listener is completely new to this and to understand where this came from and which traditions it's also connected to, because I think that it's called different things in different traditions, but it feels like this one source.
Yes. Yes, so the Akashic Records, actually, it's to start from the very beginning, it's I always say it's kind of like a universal library where all the information of everything that has ever existed, not just from planet Earth, but from at least this side of the universe, all that information is stored. I always say it's kind of like the cloud, you know, that as you do, it uploads. So this is an energetic place, let's say. They say it's very close to the source, or to where the energy of the source is. That's why its name, it's Akasha, no? It's a Sanskrit word for primordial. Do you say in English primordial energy? So it's the high consciousness energy, the creative energy as well. In other times, let's bringing this back now to planet Earth, like in the times of Lemuria and the times of Atlantis, this was not, we didn't call it like the Akashic Records. It was not kind of like that because we were experiencing. We were doing the human experience on Earth from a different consciousness, let's say from a higher. They didn't like to use the word from, especially in the records, they don't like to use like higher or lower. We don't really do that, but like from more, let's say, expanded consciousness. It was something that came absolutely natural. This connection, this is the connection to the Akashic Records. It's something that is natural for all human beings. Yes, it's not something like, oh, you're special, you have this. No, this is something that comes natural for more human beings. The thing is, as most of the things, and because we're doing experiences from this consciousness that it's still not so aware, we kind of forgot, right? Like we have, like I always say, that we have the cables like disconnected. But at those times in Lemuria and Atlantis, this was a natural connection. We just tapped into this energetic field and could obtain the information or the energy of anything that we wanted to know. Yes, it was, of course, because we were also operating from a different consciousness. It was not like, you know, there was not like, you know, like things we would do now, like maybe gossip or understand this. You know, it was really not like that. Then when the collapse of the civilizations happened and the Earth and humanity went back to operating from a third dimensional consciousness, when we tend to forget most and we're not aware of our divine essence and our gifts and many of the things that we bring, because also it's not like the whole soul, it's just a very small percentage of soul that is incarnated, let's say, like we have in these human experiences, right? At least in this one that we're having now. So of course we don't remember, and you know, many of the things in a physical, as we know, right, in a physical way has changed as well. We don't have like all the, you know, all our DNA chains, and not everything is activated, but okay, this is another it's so wide that I'm trying to reduce everything to so that everyone can understand. So now it says that, so from the time of Atlantis and Lemuria, it's being said that the access to the Akashic Records was Master Thoth, yes, who took it to Egypt. Then of course there's a lot of this information in the Emerald tablets. And then it said that around in the 60s, even though of course this is just like the story of, let's say, like the officially how we recuperated this tool, yes, but the again throughout history, whatever history is, because time is not linear, but for us to understand throughout this, from the time of Lemuria and Atlantis until now, there are many, many beings who naturally tapped into the Akashic Records. But in this part, let's say in this contemporary part of history, it said that it's in the year around 1960, there was this person, he was a businessman from, I think he was from Poland, and he was traveling to Mexico. He went to Mexico and he lost his flight, and then he went to walk around Mexico. And then he saw this woman that he had been having dreams with for the past 2 years, the face of this woman. And when he sees this woman looks at him and tells him, I've been waiting for you for the past 2 years. So this woman takes him to the mountains and gives, because it was the Mayans who kind of like very secretly kept the prayer to access the Akashic records. So the original prayer that we use now, it's actually in Mayan. Yes, it was translated from the Mayan. So he, and in the mountains, when he's initiated in the Akashic records, he's given this energetic key that is the prayer that now we all use to open the Akashic records. Of course, some people don't use this key, but most of the people who learn how to access the Akashic records through these schools, let's say we use, this is the key that we use. So then he's being told that he needs to share now this tool with the world. So he decides to go to the United States and he creates this school that is the most, let's say, the first Akashic Records school in the world, that it's called ARCI, Akashic Records Center. I don't remember that, but it's ARCI, and this is the school that most of us belong, even the people that later went on to create books, to write books on how to access the Akashic records and all these things, they're all students from this school. Yes, everything comes from this, at least in this contemporary part of history, on our humanity's reconnection, official reconnection to the Akashic records. Yes, and this, of course, this started to widen up. And I always say that even though this is a tool that we all have and that we can all kind of like tap into, it requires a certain awareness and consciousness and inner work as well. Because I always say we can only access information according to the consciousness level that we have, let's say, to the expansion. Yes. So it's not that all the information is available for everyone. No, this is a very also like personal journey. Yes. So that's why also the accessing, you know, like getting close to the Akashic records, learning how to use this tool, it comes with a lot of healing and it comes with a lot of like inner work and process. So yeah, to sum it up, people who can access now the Akashic records, we can access actually the information of like any kind of information of events when we do one-on-one sessions. Of course, we cannot access anyone's records without their express consent. Otherwise, the key would be taken away from you. And we can access all the information of not just this incarnation, but like the soul journey. Yes, from since the soul was created until now. So it's an extraordinary tool to understand blockages, especially in this third dimension, like everything related to the karmic bodies and things that we've inherited from the lineage, and a lot of, you know, how to unblock and understand and heal and transcend a lot of our own trauma and perceptions, our soul purpose. There are so many things. You can really ask the Akashic records anything you want. I don't know if this was clear enough.
Yeah, thank you so much for explaining that. And also the history that I wasn't like exactly aware of, how far back it goes. And it's really synchronistic with what I'm studying right now, as we spoke about, and these things that are emerging in my field right now. So usually it works like that, right? You start tapping into one field and then we connect and maybe you initiated something. But it sounds like we're accessing something beyond time and space through all the dimensions and tapping into, because I always talk about our like physical lineage, but also our soul lineage. So it's like these different streams that we can, and that's part of it, that we have been encoded somehow with forgetting everything. And that's why we usually are asleep. And I'm thinking that this, I feel like in the dream state also, we tapping into something similar, or when we channel, or when we do anything like mind expansive, right? So some remembrance or something. So it's like you say, it depends on where you are in your own practice and how, and what is the purpose, and what is, why is this important? And I think that the more we start opening up, as you said, it's also like a healing and merging aspect of it. So I think that's incredible. I mean, I have so many questions, because you also tapped into Atlantis and Lemuria, which is so interesting, like that whole background. But if I just ask Ishtar, I know you worked with Valeria on this. Has that also affected how you work with art and what you're doing now? Did you have any experiences similar to that, or what was your experience?
Yeah, I remember many years ago, Valeria called me and she had her, I think, first session or one of the sessions with our teacher, Rebecca. She said, "This is amazing. You have to have a session. Do it. You have to have it. I'll pay it. Just do it." And I had never heard about the Akashic Records, and we had a session and it was just incredible. The first thing that I realized is that it's such a pure place. Because I can be scared, that things might be there might be things that are threatening or whatever. But it was such a pure place that that I got all these messages from, and the messages were also so clear, and they spoke to me on so many levels, both the conscious and the subconscious. I could feel the messages, even though I might not understand or wasn't ready to hear them. I could feel them, and they integrated very quickly inside of my body. And through that first session, I just felt like I came home a little bit. And then I followed Valeria's steps, through the initiations, and I learned how to open up my own records. And it was beautiful to experience it for myself, to come to that pure place of being connected and getting these messages. And because I can be very much in my own mind, and this is another, I can't really express it in words, but it was very clear what I got from it. I haven't practiced as much, and I haven't really gone further with opening up others Akashic Records, but I can definitely find resemblance to when I'm working with my art, coming to that place of just letting go and trust, and whatever comes. And I think the trust is the strongest connection I have to that place of just of believing that whatever I decide to paint without pressure will, I trust what comes on the paper, and also bringing that into a world of clients or working with other people. I rely on that trust very much in my work.
Incredible. That's so beautiful. And we will also talk a little bit about the goddess, how it's been in your, because that's how we connected actually. But yeah, I want to ask you, Valeria, because I'm so into studying this right now as well, that it feels like sometimes when we're tapping into something, let's say we start on a timeline of this history of time. So we start looking back what happened 2000 years ago, what happened 4000 years ago, what happened 11000 years ago. But right now I'm wondering if the time of the these ancient places, which are kind of timeless in one way and happening in a parallel place, because some of these places that are described, either I'm dreaming of them as they are still existing, or I'm tapping into something because I have had clear dreams of a very one very watery place, which I couldn't connect to Earth. But I would love to understand the realms and also the Atlantis Lemurian connection a little bit more, connected to the Akashic Records and what you found. I mean, you must have had profound insights through your work, your tapping into these records.
So, yes. I guess, I don't know. So I guess just to start, so time is really, this conception, this preconception we have of time in our human mind, in our third dimensional mind. The mind, I always say the mind is from all our bodies. We have many different bodies, right? In this experience, the physical, the emotional, the energetic, spiritual, the karmic. the emotional, all these bodies, from all the bodies that we have, the mental is the one that, you know, always thinks that it's the boss. And it's like, oh, if I don't understand, then things are not like this. You know, the mind is a little bit like with this attitude. So I always say for us to understand, like, the mind cannot even start to comprehend the complexity and gloriousness of the physical body and how the physical body works, right? But due to that, it's not that the body says, oh, okay, the mind doesn't understand, so then, you know, I'm not going to work on, or this is not real. No, the body keeps, you know. So the same way, this is a little bit for us to understand, okay, it's okay if my mind doesn't understand exactly, you know. So time indeed is not, this linear time is an absolute illusion, even because when we start to tap into quantum physics and understand the quantum field, which is everything, because everything is the quantum field, we understand that there's nothing linear. Everything is like, and everything is constantly moving. That's why we can have, and that's why, for example, in so many people who have gone through, the hundreds of thousands of people who have gone through near-death experiences, when they come back to relate what they went through, they often talk about how they saw this other incarnation happening at the same time. Things that, you know, maybe he or she thought that it was for many different past lives. It's like, no, it's happening at the same time. There are many things happening in a parallel time. Even many of our incarnations at the moment, I am aware that there are three different, I was talking to Ishtar this the other day, I am aware that there are three different, like, my soul is incarnated in three different parts, like, that I can feel at the moment. So it's not about, like, getting too much into it, because our mind would work crazy, and there's a reason why we cannot perceive this. Yes, like, we need to focus on our incarnation. Also, you know, I'm very down to earth and very about, like, demystifying, you know, and really, okay, how can we integrate all these tools in our day-to-day life? Yes, at least that is my vision. This a little bit like relative to the time thing. So it's really things that we perceive that may have happened. For us, it's interesting because usually the guides or the guardians of the records, when they give information to us, many times it's not, they say, okay, for you to understand, and maybe they say, you know, it was like 600 years or something, but, you know, this is just for our third dimensional mind to understand. This is, we know time is an absolute illusion. Yes. And even things that we think, how do time, you know, how do people, how do higher consciousness and civilizations travel through time and space? How could, it's because it's not, it doesn't go like this. It's not like a year, how do you say, like a light year that goes like this. It's, everything is round, and in the quantum field, everything is, it just works in a different way. So this about, like, I just wanted to quickly address that thing about time as well, and about Lemuria and Atlantis. I don't know, was there something specific? Sorry, Shireen, was there something specific about Lemuria and Atlantis?
Well, I'm just curious how the connection is, because when we go back to, like, the ancient Egypt, you tapped into the Emerald Tablets, yes, and Thoth, and how, because I'm come almost like starting there now and going forward, but how is the connection to that civilization or those civilizations, and what was the important evolution there that has affected, why have we forgotten and why are we not on that vibration?
Well, it's part of the Earth chosen path as well. There are many different there are many different versions of it. You know, some people, of course, they say that we were, because at times of Lemuria and Atlantis, yes, it's said that there was a time that they were both living at the same time. But of course, if we talk about, like, linear time, it was first Lemuria, and then later, a little bit later, it was Atlantis. And through these times, of course, we know that there were many high consciousness civilizations as well experiencing planet Earth. Our bodies, the Adan Kanmon body, this is the original human body, was very different. It was bigger. It's like, I always say, that's the reason why planet Earth now, it's getting bigger. The Earth is getting wider, and even the kids who already start to incarnate with higher or more aware consciousness. You know, they are taller, their feet are bigger, like everything, you know, it's kind of like we're going back to this inhabiting like this higher consciousness. But at those times, it was this came very, very natural. And when the collapse of these civilizations happened, there were, of course, survivals of this collapsing, because as we know, like they went into the water, they drowned. All these geographical places, right? Like in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, and there's some in the Mediterranean and all these things. So the survivals as well brought that information to the different places, the new different places that they settled. We know that Thoth went to Egypt. Emerald tablets, as we know, like he wrote all the information and how to access all the, not just about the Akashic records, but like the, like every, all the information of how everything works in the universe. And as we know, of course, this is information that can only be accessed if we have a frequency resonance to the frequency of that information. Yes, it was like the same thing as before. Then we were talking about the records, like we can only access the spectrum of information with the same spectrum of our consciousness. And I don't know. I don't know if I'm so focused today.
No, I think that's a great explanation. And I think that the whole Atlantis, Lemuria could be a topic of itself, because it's so big. Yes. And as you said, people have channeled different things, but it's really incredible, because there are theories about this psi field. I mean, what if these, I don't know, maybe that's already in your teachings, but what if like our whole, like all the cells in all the smallest particles of the universe all contain this? Like it's already in us, like it's because people could easily think that we're tapping, you know, we're always so dualistic and outside of us, but it's like we are like the living record, and it's about like how deep can we go into our own like knowing, because it's already encoded in us through
our souls. The cells and each one of the atoms and molecules that conform all our different bodies already have this information. When I open the records of someone during the session, like the first thing I see, I always say it's like the composition of their soul, and therefore the composition of their human. They show me their DNA chains, like which frequencies are also, of course, if you have Sirian origin or Arcturian origin, and you know, like we can see like frequencies, the different frequencies of, so all this information, and maybe the person is absolutely not aware at all, sometimes they are, sometimes they are not, of their own essence. Yes, but this information, like this, all of us, because we are of, and also in essence we are all divine, like we all come from source. So all this, even though if it's in and of course we not all the 100% of our soul, of our consciousness, let's say it's incarnated in this human experience, we're not operating through the 100%, still this process and this path is about like remembering and reconnecting and experiencing and transcending and experimenting and evolving. And of course in these third dimensions, many times is pain what triggers these processes, right? But that is like because of how the design is of the third dimension, many times is these situations of pain who triggers them.
That's so in line with what I was thinking about with Goddess Ishtar, Inanna, that whole story, which is connected to your work, Ishtar. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, that's what it says, right? It says that we have to go into that loss and pain and grief. And maybe you can share like your... Because in this book that I have in front of me, you've created these beautiful illustrations even of that, like how to go into the underworld, which is like something that we fear so much. This is so beautiful. This and the gates and the portals that she went through. So maybe sharing a little bit of that, like, because we've had a conversation before and you talked more extensively about it. We haven't just shared that. I mean, it's an incredible, I mean, it's so connected to what Valeria is saying. So maybe if you want to share something about that and the goddess and how you met her and yeah.
So this book became my master's work, studying visual communication. I've always known since I was a child, I would keep track, like I would write my life story over and over again. And I always told myself it's so important that I remember. So I always had a feeling that I need to make a book telling this story. And I had 2 years to create this book. It's a visual, it's an illustrated novel. And there's two parallel stories going on at the same time. So there's my own self-biography that starts with my, like, before I'm born, when my parents live here in Sweden and my father is following the war in Iraq, and how the fear that's constantly in the home also affects me as an infant in my mother's womb. And then how all that, those fears and the trauma through generations is weaved in throughout the whole life story until today. And then the parallel story to that is the story of Inanna. And she, as my father comes from the same region in Mesopotamia where Inanna was the goddess at that time, there's like constantly a parallel where when she's young, being very like not having that experience of life and just being affected of the things that are happening. And then as she gets older, she matures and steps, stands firm in her power and also fiercely dares to both embody the wild anger, rage, as well as the unconditional love and devotion. And I think there's so many, it's so interesting because now when we're having these conversations, listening to Valeria is talking about like it expands through time and space and like the story of Earth and everything. And then I see how I come back to the more human experience of like having the story of my own life and also understanding the relationship to my lineage on my father's side and my mother's side and the pain and all of these things that they've gone through that carries on. And it's really through that pain that either you can get stuck in the poor me victim mode, or you can really face it. And facing it is so hard because it's, you know, you have to change, and it's not comfortable to change. And so I had one point by the last semester working with this book where I for a very long time have identified with the story of growing up and all the trauma and all the pain that was a part of my story, where I just came to a spot where like it was so much misery and Inanna came to me at one point and I was like battling so much with feeling like a evil person, because that was a identity that I kept telling myself, that I was a bad person, and feeling so much guilt, but also this rage of like, I can't, and so what? Let me be the worst person. Let me be, let me be lonely. Nobody loves me. You know, really coming to that self, you know, really, really, really dark place. And then I kind of like connected to Inanna's, I don't know, essence or energy of just like, and so what? So own it. Just own it. And it was so empowering because for the first time, all of the stories and everything that I kept telling myself, it's like, okay, and so what? And from that place, I could then, it really felt like, you know, going deep, deep, deep into those, like the journey that Inanna does as well, like going through those, what's it called?
The gates.
The gates, yeah. One after one, stripping her own self down and facing all of those fears and really surrendering. And once you get to that place, you know, the biggest fear we have is like dying, but then you face that death. And then it's just a form of peace and self-acceptance. And I felt so connected to her, not only because I know that my lineage comes from the same place and all of these things, but now it's like I could experience her energy. And that then led to an enormous amount of self-love. And I could understand the paradox of like how hate and warrior energy can be so connected to unconditional love and devotion, which was an amazing experience. And yeah, since then I've just, something calmed inside of me. And now I feel very much like I don't need to identify with those stories or anything because I've reached like, I'm not, you know, it's not holding me anymore. And a lot of that is also thanks to Valeria guiding me all these years and helping, you know, like, because you can go through things emotionally and then sometimes when you just hear the right words or guidance, it's like, oh, okay, I know where I am now. So, yeah.
I want to say something. This, what Ishti is describing, is so powerful and so key to understand the transcendence of the human, of part of the human experience. To me, a problem is I talk a lot about like our shadow work. My work is very much focused on healing because my own story, Ishti's stories, we have very similar stories. So because of our stories, our work is very much focused on healing. And the thing is that people tend to reject with so much, like, it's like, you know, like your own shadow, your own, like, and we are in this duality exists in every consciousness, in every realm, in every dimension. It's in this one that we perceive it, everything so polar. But the key, I always think like the key to transcendence is not the rejection, but the integration of the own shadow. And this, what Ishti just described, is just so on point and so key for the transcendence. It's just so extraordinary. And she's so beautifully portrayed it in her book. It's so extraordinary. Yes. Thank you, Ishti.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. It's so true. It's beautiful to have that insight of what one is working with. And I want to show this one in the book and just read a little bit. I love this. I mean, this is also like portraying some kind of like the duality, but also like how it's into it. So it's just like one, but it's like infused. So it's because we talked a lot about the descent, but the ascent, the resurrection of Inanna, you've written, I'm just translating as I'm reading, so let's see how that goes from Swedish to English, but it says, down there deeply in the death realm, or the, how do you say, the realm of the death, Inanna is waking up to life after this descent and death. She actually died. The god of wisdom Inki has helped her through her ability to feel compassion for her sisters to come back to life. And she's trying to integrate her soul and her body. And it's her will and desire to come back to the earth life. She's also collecting her shattered awareness and consciousness, and she slowly rises up through the same gates that she went down. So that's that's really beautifully. So it's both so beautifully written and illustrated. I'm really happy to have this, and also the pomegranate, which appeared to me yesterday, and it's so connected with the goddess in so many ways, and fertility and everything. And as you were speaking, both of you, I drew a card now, and from my healing oracle card deck, and this can connect a little bit to what we're talking about. The message is, I let go of limiting thoughts that are holding me back. And actually, these are our Mesopotamian lands in the background. It's the Kurdish temples, Yazidi temples, and the serpent, which is also part of Ishtar's story, is down there. And it's a little bit also about leaving what's behind you, as the goddess did in this story. Like, okay, I did this journey, I've been into that deep and dark and that like pit, and now I'm leaving that behind. So I also leave like the thoughts around it, because the thoughts are just like trying to conceptualize something, but it's never going to be able to fully explain and understand like this vast awareness and consciousness that we are. So yeah, I just love both of you guys' work, and I'm wondering if there's anything else that is important for you to share right now before we wrap the conversation up.
Well, I think something that's, I mean, this is, you know, working with oneself is not, like Valeria said, it's not linear. It's a work that we have to keep on doing, because these, you know, especially like painful places can be very comfortable as well to come back to. And it sounds crazy to say that a painful place can be one's comfort zone, but it's true. I know it's true for me, and it's something that I easily can forget going to those comfort places. But something Val told me like just 2 weeks ago, and was such a good reminder, is that we always have a choice. You choose from what, you know, what perspective you want to perceive life. And we have all the responsibility is on ourselves. It can be very easy to blame it on something else, but in the end, it comes back to ourselves. And coming back to the everything that exists within us, and to be able to tap into that, it's our responsibility and how deep we can go. But that also means daring to face the things that are super uncomfortable, which, you know, are connected to that comfort place. So, yeah.
Yes. Yes, the thing is also, it's sometimes it's very challenging to get into that place of this inner work and everything, because as Ishti was saying before, we tend to perceive ourselves, our personalities build around our emotional wound, right? So all these emotional wounds become a filter through which we perceive reality. Yes, like reality. What is reality? It's just our perception, right? So that's why it's key to start cleansing this emotion, these filters, so that we are actually able to integrate, embody, empower ourselves, realigning ourselves with the divine. Because before we do this, it's very complicated, because most people are still operating through the lens of their own emotional wounds, through these filters. So everything that they see, that they perceive, that what's happening, how people behave towards them, how they behave towards the world, everything is through these lenses of these emotional wounds. That's why we always go back to, and we don't have to start big, you can start small. And there's so many techniques, and it's so many of us sharing so many different like tools, from guided meditations to physical techniques, to there's so much information out there. So I invite, of course, everyone to continue our process of becoming lighter in this sense, becoming lighter of getting rid as well of all these perceptions that we have, because we create the perception we have of the world and ourselves and everything around as well, our own emotional wounds. So let's go back to that place. Let's get rid of all of that and start creating from our own gloriousness, from our own divine, which is our essence. But it's hard to see it until we don't clear the filters.
Yeah, that's a truly important aspect. I really love that you brought that up. So thank you. And I wish definitely share, because you both are working on different things, and Valeria, you're doing readings and classes, and Ishtar, you have amazing projects and things going on. And in the show notes, I will share everything so that people can find you and connect with you. And if anyone has any questions, you can reach out to us after this is shared. So I really want to thank you both for being here today and having this beautiful conversation. And I'm sure that we will speak again soon, because there's so many more questions I have on these topics. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, both of you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.